Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
Welcome, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
We are coming at you right out of the bye week. Patriots, well rested. Picked up a couple games against some contenders this weekend.
Yeah. It went pretty well for having a bye week.
Pretty well. I mean, first and foremost, inside the division, Belichick's always talking about taking care of the division. So the Bills were sitting there at 6-2. 6-2. And they were 3-point dogs on the road against the 2-6 Browns.
Yeah.
And the Browns pull one out. Fourth quarter comeback, the whole thing. Baker Mayfield silencing people. And Pats get some more breathing room in the division. Two-game lead plus the tiebreakers right now. The other big one, I mean, really the biggest, well, I shouldn't say that. The Falcons over the Saints was the biggest upset.
That came out of nowhere. That came out of nowhere. That's classic trap game. Only three field goals. Couldn't score a touchdown for the Drew Brees offense, Sean Payton. There was a little rumbling around that I heard that Sean Payton had said to somebody and that it got out that he knew they were going to lose and he was trying to get his team up for this game because he knew they weren't where they needed to be.
Oh.
Or something.
He would leak that? Who do you leak that to?
I don't know. I heard that someone said that.
Well, they definitely played like it. They didn't protect him at all. He was under pressure consistently. His eye level was like a foot in front of his face. Drew Brees, that is. And the Falcons' pass rush is garbage. I mean, Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley, Adrian Claiborne, Grady
Jarrett.
It was
a five sacks or something, they said?
They had six.
Six?
Yeah. And that's not even talking about all the pressures that caused incompletions and throwaways and all that stuff. Knockdowns. But the game that I actually did want to talk about was the Chiefs losing to the Titans.
Yeah, that was a crazy game. I saw that second half. It was really the Chiefs just... defense was atrocious.
Yeah, Chiefs defense was atrocious, and they had the chance to really close out that game a couple
twice.
Times. Well, they had two possessions inside the last 2 minutes,
and they blew both of them.
They needed field goals both times.
Yeah, and one was blocked, right? The first one was blocked. Second one was blocked. The first one was missed. Is that how it worked?
Yeah, the first one. So it was. They were down, the Titans were down, 5 points? Yeah, they were down 5 points, and they had the ball with like 3 minutes to go. And you're thinking, this is the Titans offense, one of the slowest offenses in the NFL. They got to score a touchdown on this possession. They wind up getting into like 4th-and-17 or something. I think they went for it. Pretty sure they went for it. And they didn't get it. They were on like their own 40-yard line. And then the Chiefs get the ball. It's just inside 2 minutes. Titans have all three timeouts. The Chiefs end up running the ball twice and then rolling out for a pass on third down. Mahomes takes a sack. Smart in that case. Instead of an incomplete pass, you get them to use their last timeout.
Yep.
But that's a situation. You get one first down, you win the game. And they're unable to get it. Best offense in football. Unable to get a first down when they needed it. So they end up trying like a 47, 50-yard field goal, something like that. Bad snap. Guy drops the snap, just decides to chuck it.
Oh, that was that play. He just whips it. That is the funniest play.
And then proceeds to scream at the long snapper right afterwards.
Yeah.
That was priceless.
It was a bad snap.
Yeah, I don't understand why would he be coached to throw it as far as he can. Like, you have way more. How many times have we seen Tua Tagovailoa, Jameis Winston, Jared Goff go back to throw a pass and it just flies out the back of your hand? Wouldn't he just be coached to take a knee, just fall on the ball?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's way simpler. I mean, you're clearly going to get
thinking with that.
So he got called for intentional grounding.
Yeah, so they got completely fucked.
Yeah, well, so it'd be really no different. You would actually lose less yardage if you just took a knee instead of threw it like that. That was bonehead.
Yeah, that was bad.
So the Titans get the ball inside of 2 minutes, no timeouts, needing a touchdown against the Chiefs defense, and can they get a stop at home when they need to against Ryan goddamn Tannehill?
Yeah, not a chance.
No, not at all. They get shredded.
Would it take four plays or something? Three plays?
It felt like that.
It was really fast that they went down and scored.
As soon as they got moving on that drive, like as soon as they crossed midfield, it was in a heartbeat. It might have been two or three.
Yeah.
Caps it off with the Adam Humphries touchdown. Tannehill truck sticks one of their defensive backs on the 2-point conversion. to get that so that even a field goal for the Chiefs would only send it to overtime. It wouldn't win the game. Chiefs get a pretty good return on the kickoff. They're out at about the 35. And then Mahomes hits like a 35-yard pass, 25-yard pass. They're at the 40-yard line. They're right on the edge of field goal. Another quick pass. They get into really makeable field goal range, like 49, 50 yards. Blocked.
Yeah, blocked.
I mean, every possible chance to finish this game off. You have possession two times in the last 2 minutes. And they squander it away.
And they were winning in the first half, weren't they? They were up.
They were up, yeah. They were up. They let him back in. I mean, Derrick Henry is a load, and he just ran all over that defense.
That really just showed, you know, people are worried about the Patriots' run defense. Jesus, they have none.
That's a different animal, yeah.
That's really bad, which they just exposed that team who, you know, everyone at the beginning of the season, it was the Chiefs. That was the team. Now it's looking more and more every week like it's definitely Baltimore. Yeah. But the Chiefs, what are they, 5-4, 6-4?
6-4. They got four losses.
Already.
Already. And this weekend, they're going to Mexico City to play the Chargers. Yeah. Not saying they're going to lose, but that's not easy. That's not a home game.
Well, and then the other team that was pretty good, and I want to talk about a little bit, is Oakland's right there at 5-4 now.
I know. How fun is that, right?
Waiting for that.
Thursday night against San Diego.
Did you see Gruden at the end of the game?
Oh, yeah.
How do you not want to play for that coach? Just running up and hugging fans and slapping fives with everybody. That game, in the end of it, I'm seeing a recurring thing in the NFL where if somebody's got the ball, they're just trying, and they're down, or it's a close game. The refs are just throwing flags just to keep it going. I think they did it at least twice in that final drive for the Chargers. It's 4th and 10. You throw a PI on, and it wasn't even like it was egregious or anything. Oakland's defense was just stifling the Chargers. The Chargers couldn't get a yard. It was just one of those things. They had no momentum. They couldn't do anything. The Chargers were just the Raiders were just in their heads. And 4th and 10, you get a PI call. Gives them 1st and 10. Then they do it again, I think. I think they gave them it twice. And Oakland's finally, they picked it off. Because it was just so ugly.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you fucking guys doing out there? Like,
Chargers,
how are you throwing
so bad on that last drive?
Like,
so
how are you throwing flags on a 4th and 10?
It does seem like they love to throw 3rd down and 4th down flags, like in terms of secondary coverage.
You
really don't see that many defensive holdings on 1st down. A lot of them on 3rd down.
That's a great point. I think you're right. You don't. It's just like literally they're keeping drives going. I mean, sometimes obviously it's there, but then like, you know, in this game, and I feel like a lot at the end of the game, you just, you know, let them play. If they can catch the ball, let them catch the ball, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean? Unless it's terrible. They're calling things away from the play, and then they're going back and reviewing them because it's within 2 minutes. It's like, what are we doing? They're going from each individual matchup, like, whoa, was there PI there? Was there PI there? Was there? It's like, what the hell are we, like, what are we watching? Like a friggin' game show of where the PI is? Like, I don't give a shit about any of this.
Yeah, you want to see them throw fewer flags in bigger moments.
Yeah, exactly. They want it if it's bad, if it hinders the play. You know what I mean? And it's gotten out of control where it's not even consistent anymore. But one thing I wanted to mention is for the Raiders, Mike Mayock, when Gruden hired him, they got a lot of flack in the offseason.
Yeah.
A lot of flack, right? Go look at that draft and you see how many people are contributing on that team. It's like 7 of 10 guys or something, and they're like big contributors.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I would point out that team had almost no talent going in before that.
Sure, they traded away a bunch of their guys, but I mean, they've got people that are making plays.
Oh, Josh Jacobs, everybody made fun of that draft pick, and he looks unreal.
He looks like he's one of the best running backs in the league.
Right, already, yeah, he is a... He's a load to bring down. He catches the ball. He pass protects. He does everything.
That safety they picked is really good. I don't know if he's still hurt. He might have been keeps Abram.
Yeah, I didn't see him in that game.
I think he's hurt. But do you know how that D end is, that first round pick D end?
He looked good. He got a sack.
Their 4th round pick D end is playing out of his mind. He was like uncoverable in the game.
He was in Hard Knocks. He's the one that broke his arm, right?
Yeah.
Crosby?
Yeah,
like that.
Crosby.
Yeah, he looked unblockable.
He looks great. They have a tight end they picked who looks pretty good. They have that dude Hunter Renfrow. He's got like 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, prep school Hunter.
It's like everyone they play, it's not like they're just playing. They're playing well, and they're winning.
Yeah, Gruden's doing an incredible job. I could not stand Derek Carr on the sideline of that game. Ugh, his interview post-game was just gross. His defense is, well, first of all, he didn't score the touchdown to put them ahead at the end. Like, Josh Jacobs ripped off a 30-yarder. And then Derek Carr goes over to the bench, and he's trying to whip up the black hole at one end zone, even though the play is happening all the way at the other end zone. Like, why don't you focus on the fans that are over there? Why are you walking all the way to the other end of the field to go talk to those fans? Like, ugh.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even, like, doing anything to pump him up. He was just, like, doing the bird wings, the upside-down bird.
Yeah.
And that's all he's doing. Like, that's pumping up the fans. They don't care. I don't care.
But, yeah, I feel like he's a little bit of a weirdo.
Yeah, he made a couple plays. He really doesn't push the ball down the field too much, which is probably Gruden's coaching. I mean, like, this isn't going to work out for us. But he made enough plays on that final drive to push them in. And one other thing that stuck out to me this game, I know we're getting real in-depth in this game, but on that final drive for the Chargers, they just kept doing the same exact thing. They, like you said, they probably had like 8 pass plays on that final drive. I don't know if they even had one completion.
I don't think they gained a yard.
All they were doing was doing like 4 wide receivers, I guess 3 receivers and a tight end, but the tight end was split from the formation. And then they were just like running them all pretty deep and trying to throw it to Keenan Allen. Let's throw it to Keenan Allen 3 times, didn't work. Throw it to Mike Williams 3 times, didn't work.
Yeah.
It's like at no point did they do what the Patriots famously did in the, yes, this is the Patriots podcast, we're going to bring it all back, in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. All those plays that Tony Romo was calling out on those third downs, big plays, what did they do? They kept in 2 guys to block and ran 3 receiver routes.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't block them up front. And guess what? The Chargers couldn't block the Raiders up front, never made the adjustment, just kept sending everybody out there.
Yep.
Okay. That's all I have to say about that.
Too good.
Wait, one more 5-4 team? The Steelers.
Yeah, that's sad.
The goddamn Steelers win again this week, this time against the Rams, who are, I mean, the Forks and the Rams, right? It's over.
They look awful.
Their division is 8-1 San Francisco, 7-2 Seattle.
Yeah, they're not touching either of them. I mean, they just look wildly inconsistent. It's like
Cooper Kupp didn't even have a catch. He's their best offensive player.
All of a sudden, their offense just completely disappears.
Brandon Cooks missed this game again
with a concussion, dude. That's like his 5th concussion. I feel
it's
like
2 this year alone, and we know he got the one in the Super Bowl with the Patriots. It's scary because he's only like 25.
Yeah,
but they missed that element. That I guess I didn't realize how much that Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks player in that offense opened it all up underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be because they got nothing going on right now. I mean, they scored 12 points against the Steelers, which is apparently a good defense, but they just couldn't. And they, 17-12 is the Rams with Sean McVay as the greatest offensive-minded coach and all this bullshit. It's like, you scored 12 fucking points.
Yeah. Steelers defense is good.
Yeah, they are good, but I mean,
above average. Definitely
top 10, I would say. They have so much talent over there.
The Rams?
They at least did.
Their offensive line got bad in a hurry. Andrew Whitworth is 38 or 39 now, and he looks it.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of bad offensive lines this year.
That's a common trope.
It usually is, but I feel like this year more than ever, it's more like, holy shit, no one can block anybody.
Yeah, well, if the Rams' offensive line continues to be terrible, they don't have an avenue to make it better. They don't have first-round picks for the foreseeable future. Their second-round pick this year is already gone. You can't get a left tackle it's extremely rare to get a left tackle after the first 2.
Yeah.
And then the other way to get them is on free agent market. It's like you've already paid top dollar to like
everywhere
5 guys
else
on your team. You can't do it again.
Yeah.
So they're kind of screwed on the offensive line.
They're kind of screwed everywhere because that's all going to come to a head. If when you make these trades for 2 first-round picks for a cornerback, in, you know, that you don't really need, but sure. I mean, that's immediate. That's like, we have to win this year and next year. And it's like, if you are going to go 500 this year, you wildly overdrew yourself there. It's like, that is way too low for expectations.
The Miami Dolphins, back-to-back wins.
Over the Colts. The Colts, come on.
Yeah, they go from one of the most embarrassing teams I've ever seen to a two-game win streak. Brian Flores has those guys playing. They have no discernible talent. I mean, can you name one person on their team that's good?
Devontae Parker?
No, he's not good.
No?
Just because he was a first-round pick. I love Devontae Parker coming out of Louisville. He's not good.
He was good when he had a quarterback. Now he's not good? Fine. All right. I don't.
I'm amazed that despite every attempt by management to wreck the morale of that team, Brian Flores has them playing hard. They all play hard.
They do. And they just beat the Colts, who really need to win.
Yeah, they could use that. Brian Hoyer has had a tough couple weeks, particularly in the red zone with turnovers.
Hey, you know, good for them. You also had the Jets take another win. Jets aren't the abomination that everyone thought. Well, they kind of are. But they were their president or whoever the hell it is came out today and said that they're not firing him. He's the coach next year.
So, oh, yeah, well, that's right.
We'll see what happens there. And then the big game of the week was Monday night. I think the first really good Monday night game, and it was Seattle at San Francisco. It went into overtime. You know, Seahawks pulled it out.
That game was incredible. The whole first half, well, like the first 25 minutes of the first half were all Niners. That was it.
They looked dominant. It was like, oh my God, the Niners are going to kick the shit out of them.
They looked so dominant. And then it flipped on its head. Seattle gets a scoop and score touchdown from Clowney. And then they had another takeaway at the end of the first half that they ended up giving right back to the Niners. And then it's like back and forth in the second half. Jimmy G can't make any passes. Something happened to Jimmy G like right after halftime. He was not the same player. Oh, yes. It was the Emmanuel Sanders injury.
Yeah, the rib injury. He had no Sanders, no Kittle.
Yeah, the Sanders, because he looked good in the first half, but as soon as Sanders went out with that weird thing, he was just running a route, pulled something, and the whole passing offense fell apart. I really like that dude, Debo Samuel.
Debo Samuel, he's a good player.
He's got inconsistent hands, but I think he just transitioned to wide receiver. He just moved to wide receiver. but he's a lot to take down in the open field. The other receivers, not impressive. Dante Pettis got called out today by Kyle Shanahan.
Did he?
Yeah, former second-round pick. Last year's second-round pick.
What did he call him out for? What did he say?
He said he's getting opportunities and he's not taking advantage of them. He's got drop passes. He's not converting targets into catches. But then it was just a crazy overtime after all of that. I mean,
I was Seahawks, sleeping by then, but yeah, I heard.
You missed it. Oh, my goodness, dude.
I fell asleep.
Seahawks drive down, then the Niners drive, and the Seahawks, and back and forth. And then finally, Jason Myers with the redemption. It wasn't super a big redemption thing. I know he missed three kicks last week against Tampa Bay in a game that they ended up winning.
Yeah.
But this game, for him to hit the field goals that he did, and particularly the game winner, after he hits the game winner, and then they whistle it dead, and they're like, oh, they called the timeout a quarter second before this. It's like, oh, shit. And you just see the whole movie playing through everybody's head.
Yeah.
And then to have the balls of steel to knock it through again. So happy for him. That was great.
Yep. I mean, there was two big takeaways I took from this game. Well, a couple big takeaways. I don't know about two. First off is that Jimmy G really can't deal with pressure when the game is on the line. I mean, he had some tough fucking goes. He should have thrown a few interceptions that just hit the wrong guy's hands. It's like, what are you doing, man? Just whipping it up at a certain point.
Yeah, so definitely.
That's something they got to worry about. The officiating, I didn't really know what the fuck they were. I mean, I keep bringing up officiating. I don't want to, but I don't know what the fuck they were doing in this game. There was a couple plays I was watching, and I was like, did they really just call that? Like, the punt returner didn't call a fair catch, and he gets walloped, and they call it against the Seahawks. Remember that play?
No, which play? Who was punting?
I think the Seahawks punted it, if I remember. I was, like, in and out of the game, so I don't know. I was really tired. But Seahawks punted. Niners guy goes to catch it, misses it, doesn't he get crushed by the Seahawks guy, and then they called the flag for like an unnecessary hit or something, and it's like, that's what that whole thing is about. That's why they have the fair catch.
Right.
You can't call a penalty after that. That's why you designed a fair catch. You give him a chance to catch it. Yeah, the guy doesn't want to catch it. Then you're open season.
there were a couple of those hitting with the helmet or like leading with the helmet penalties.
Yeah, and then they call it on the Seattle again for hitting Jimmy G. It was really that they were really going for – they were giving the 49ers some calls. I was just exclusively the Niners. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and then, I mean, there's a blatant play. Richard Sherman came up and just whacked the receiver, hit helmet to helmet, perfect, right in front of the referee, no call.
No call, but then they call it on – yeah, Jimmy G, when he's basically leans into the hit, which is going to happen. Okay, you don't want you to call whatever. But, I mean, come on. There's got to be. Then the call that really confused me, which is just kind of stupid because it seems like a dumb rule altogether, is that strip sack when Seattle had – it wasn't a strip sack, I'm sorry. When Seattle caught the ball, I don't remember who's running down the sideline. Looks like a huge play. And the ball got stripped out of his DK Metcalf, I think. He caught the ball. He's running down. Makes a great play, running down the sidelines. At about the one or two, one of the cornerback rips the ball out of his hands, which is a great heads-up play, and gets it in the end zone, right?
Yeah, and they brought it back out to the three-yard line.
But then he lost the ball as he was going to the ground, and it went out of bounds.
Oh, really? He didn't maintain possession?
I didn't think so. So, the defender was out of bounds when he was ripping for the ball in the first place. Do you hear me right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was standing out of bounds when he was ripping at the ball. Yeah, and then he was still out of bounds when he got the ball.
No, they said he was back in bounds when he got possession.
But don't – see, now, that, right there, that whole thing, it's like, can't you not touch the ball when you're out of bounds? Don't you have to, like, reestablish yourself in bounds?
You should with the have ref to reestablish
because you can get possession. They call it all the time on special teams with Matthew Slater.
Is going out of bounds, come back in and touching it?
Touching, I think, a player.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, he's gotten flagged like two or three times this year because he's out of bounds, and then he comes in.
No, it's usually because he doesn't come back in bounds as soon as he possibly can. They call it unsportsman because he's like running down out of bounds.
But there's someone blocking him into him.
Yeah, I don't get that rule. You can block him like through the sideline, but he has to be inbounds the whole time. I don't get.
So that like that whole thing with the inbounds versus out of bounds, this guy's got, I mean, I don't get it. It's like, well, what the hell is that about? And then I couldn't believe that they gave him the ball because I thought I couldn't be wrong. Maybe his knee was down and I didn't have a great angle of it, but it looked like he got the defender when he got picked up the ball and fell into the end zone. The ball was falling out of his hands.
Oh yeah.
And he lost the ball. And then they were like, nope, 49ers on the two. It was like, wait a second. How the hell did you come up with that? This guy had the ball for maybe a second.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's his ball on the two? Why wouldn't it be on the 20? They were like, oh, his forward progress stopped before the ball fell out of his hands when he was down. It's like, it didn't make any sense. And you just completely changed. I mean, the 49ers had their lion's share of help in this game, and they still lost.
And the Zebras. Yeah, that was a convoluted play. But the Niners lose their first game. They're at 8-1, tied with the Patriots. For the Niners in that game, I know they were without George Kittle. They lose Emmanuel Sanders, but they also got back Juszczyk, the fullback, and both of their starting tackles, Staley and McGlinchey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this seemed like it was their worst performance from a pass protection standpoint, despite getting back three vital members of their pass protection unit, mm-hmm. both tackles and your fullback, for a team that uses their fullback that much. And they couldn't do anything with Jadeveon Clowney. Jaron Reed was doing whatever he wanted to do. So that's a warning sign for the Niners to look out for.
Well, and Seattle's not a great defense. I mean, everyone's been trapped, and I will give it to them, you know, same division, you know, something about that. You're playing them twice a year. You kind of know each other, you know, same with us against Buffalo or Miami. We always, you know. But it was in San Fran.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't in Seattle. They have to play Seattle again. But that
I think the bright lights weren't ready for the bright lights too.
They weren't. I mean, there's a lot of games like that this week. That was kind of a tough week, I guess, in the NFL. Yeah. But the Seattle San Fran going forward, you know, they went, what, 9-0 or 8-0? Was it 8-0?
8-0, yeah.
I can see them have coming through the stretch here. They got a hard-ass schedule coming up.
Really tough.
I can see them losing another 4 or 5 games easily and, like, barely making the playoffs.
Which I could see them dropping 4 and winding up at 11-5.
Yeah, I mean, they got some tough games. Like, every one of their games is hard, I feel like, going up.
Oh my, either hard or division games. Like, and I think they have the Cardinals again this and weekend.
Then week 17 is against the Seattle.
Yeah, so they got Seattle.
They have to play that game. You know they have to play that game.
The division's probably going to come down to that.
Yeah.
So you still got Seattle again. They have New Orleans. They have the Ravens. They got a tough road ahead.
So the three best teams in the league.
I know, right? not for New England. So the Pats,
yeah,
after some of those losses this weekend, they get a little bit more breathing room ahead of the Chiefs. So I was looking at it, and it seems to me like if the Chiefs could, at 6-4, the Chiefs could max out at 12-4.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Patriots get at least 13 wins, that's going to get them a bye. Because then it's just between the Pats and the Ravens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I understand that the Texans could probably be in there at 6-3. They would have to win out, but whatever. If you just think of if the Pats get to 13 wins, they're going to get a bye.
Yeah.
So that means I'm assuming that they're going to take care of business against the Bills and the Dolphins later in the season and the Bengals. So that leaves these next 4 games: Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs. If they go 2-2 over those games, that puts them at 13 wins. Gets them a bye.
Seems pretty easy.
That seems doable. 50-50? I feel like you could go 50-50, even if you're playing good.
Well, I don't think Dallas is playing very good.
Dallas is...
I'm really not afraid of them at all. I mean, I think they're...
Not afraid of their coaching staff.
I'm not afraid of anything about them. I mean, their running game, maybe.
They're passing it better this year than they're running it, but their offensive coaching staff seems to be fighting against that.
I really don't... I'm not worried about them. They've lost some key players on defense already.
You're not worried about the Michael Bennett revenge tour?
Not so much, because Bill won't let that happen. Bill will be like, they can beat us. He is not going to have a chance to do anything. Okay. Even though our offensive line is kind of Swiss cheese right now. But the Chiefs, you know, I feel like they've been getting exposed. They especially just got exposed. Pat Mahomes is back. Everything's supposed to be great, and they just got beat by a team they should have kicked their shit, you know, kicked the shit out of in Tennessee.
And then the Texans, we're going to learn a lot about this weekend when they go into Baltimore.
Yeah, we're going to learn a ton about them, and we kind of always have their number. Bill O'Brien really hasn't been able to put even a competitive game, maybe a competitive game for a half against us. Yeah. And then that brings you to the Eagles.
The Eagles, they're coming in 5-4, 2 back-to-back wins. This team scares me, not just because of the Super Bowl, but also you think back to, I think it was a Thanksgiving Day game where this, I think it was even before Doug Peterson. It's just something about the Eagles team where they can do enough to beat the Patriots.
And
there's a little bit of familiarity, more so than would be for normally an AFC team versus an NFC team that only sees each other once every 4 years. These teams have played more recently than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I think something about Philly is they're always just a physical team. You know, it's not like this one of these, they're never really one of these finesse teams that comes in as, you know, and they got a little scheme that if you break their little scheme that they're going to fold over. They're really a physical team that comes just, they really want to hit you. I'm not too worried about, I'm not really worried about this team. I'm looking at their schedule. You know, they've gotten beat pretty good a few times this year. And, you know, funny enough, I'm looking at every one of these games. Every single game they won, they led in rushing. Every single game they lost, they didn't win game. They didn't rush the ball at all.
I'll do you one better.
Yeah.
In the 4 games they've lost, they averaged 3 turnovers. In the 5 games they averaged less than half a turnover per game. Only 2 turnovers in 5 games.
So they're really not... Well, they're
not
getting.
They can't overcome that. They can't overcome turnovers.
They can't overcome turnovers. They're really not getting a lot of turnovers. I think they're +1 in the turnover differential, which is meh. You know, you're giving up the ball as much as you're taking it away. Not very good.
Yeah.
You know, the teams they've, you know, the first game they beat Washington 32-27, a close one. They lost to Atlanta. I think they're Atlanta's only win. second win now that they beat the Saints somehow. They lost to Detroit, who is maybe a slightly above 500 team. They somehow beat Green Bay.
They beat the ball all over Green Bay. Yep. That was a Thursday night.
They beat the crap out of the Jets. No surprise there. They lost to Minnesota in a game that I thought they should have won. That's kind of when I thought Philly was building some steam, and they were going to go and take it from Minnesota, and they got their absolute ass kicked by Minnesota in just an ugly routing. Then they go to Dallas, and they get their ass kicked there in an even worse ass kicking.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come back and they beat Buffalo in Buffalo. And I think that's why everyone was like, oh, maybe they still do have it. And then they beat Chicago, who Chicago can't score for the goddamn life of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what to think about this team. But before the season, a lot of people had this as top three team in the NFC. I don't think that's a stretch at all.
One of the teams. Yep.
Yeah, one of the very elite teams in the NFC. And they have a good amount of talent. I mean, we could talk about where they rank in terms of offense and defense. They're really right in the middle of the pack on everything. 13th in points for, 18th in 20 in yards for, 8th in yards given up.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty average rushing the ball, giving up the run. They're slightly above average in both of those categories and slightly below average in passing offense. The big thing from watching this team in the games that I have is they can't cover anybody. Now, a lot of that had to do with a lot of injuries on the defensive side in the backfield. They had Jalen Mills missed a bunch of time. Avante Maddox missed a bunch of time. I think Ronald Darby was even injured for a bit. But when you see Sidney Jones out there, Rasul Douglas, those guys are garbage. And this is coming from somebody who liked Sidney Jones coming out of Washington. He looks really bad. So if the Pats can take advantage of some of the weaknesses on the back end. The reason this defense was always built to have a ton of talent up front and then figure it out on the back end. It was like, we're going to send four, max five guys, and we're going to get fast pressured. That's why they have first round picks littered across the front.
Mm-hmm.
But when Fletcher Cox is having his worst season ever, Brandon Graham is still middle of the road. Derek Barnett hasn't quite broken out. Timmy Jernigan has been injured. They no longer have Michael Bennett. Malik Jackson's on IR. They just haven't had the push up front, and then you're asking your cornerbacks to cover for more than 3 seconds, and those guys are...
Yeah, and their linebackers are nothing to write home about either.
Not at all.
Nigel Bradham is a solid player.
So this defense is not as good as it normally is. Now, it's healthier now than it has been, but I'm not scared of that defensive unit. And then offensively, I think a lot of the struggles offensively happened when DeSean Jackson went out. He was out for like a month. And it was similar to the Rams, really. They didn't have that field stretcher. They didn't have anybody else on the outside. And I think a lot of us watched the game against the Vikings or the Cowboys. I can't remember which game, but they had no receivers healthy. Everybody was banged up. And Alshon Jeffrey's still missing practice.
DeSean Jackson's out for the year now.
Yep. And so the weapons on the outside are not there. And what that leads itself to is Carson Wentz holding the ball for a long time. And he is very capable of making incredible throws and plays with those really long developing plays.
Yeah.
Defensive linemen hanging off him. He can do that stuff, but he gets fucking beat up doing it. And that's one of the reasons why, I mean, I hear this debate going on and they talk about the 2016 quarterback class, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott. Who do you got going forward? And honestly, I'd take Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I think Carson Wentz is the best player, but I don't think he can stay healthy with his style of play.
No, and he's already had some major injuries. Yeah, I mean, just from a defensive standpoint, like you said, I mean, their defense seems to do good against really bad offenses, and they let up a lot of points to anyone that has an offense.
Oh, yeah. I have the three teams that have scored less than 24 points against this Eagles defense. The Bills, the Bears, and the Jets. Garbage, garbage, garbage.
Which might be the three worst offenses in the league. Yeah. So, they can score. You know, the only thing I'm really worried about in this game is how out of the bye we come out defending the run. Because if we can defend the run and make them one-dimensional, because they're going to come in here and go, you know, especially after seeing Baltimore game. You heard Doug Peterson, I think, say it earlier, you know, that, yeah, we're going to do what Baltimore did. You know, look at that game as a big... the preview to what we can do. And that's going to be running the ball. That's what everyone's going to take away from that game. Oh, wow, you can really run. You can really run. Keep it away from their strength, which is their corners. And like you said, they don't have a lot of downfield threats right now. They're just not healthy. They don't have it. They're going to try and run the ball. If we can stop them from running the ball and make them pass it, I think they're going to play right into that. Because our cornerbacks can match up with anybody, especially a subpar receiver core. And just if we can cover them out of the backfield, you know, looking at them, I think they lead. Their tight end has the most yards. You know, Zach Ertz is playing the best on their team in terms of on the outside.
Well, yeah, of
the passes.
I mean, he had like 115 catches last year. He's their number one receiving option.
Let's put some attention on him. Double him. Get him out of the game. Don't let a tight end beat you like last time, because you know they're going to go. If they have tight ends, they're going to go to their tight ends and run the ball, because right now that's what everyone thinks you can do to beat the Patriots after what the Ravens did. They don't have a Lamar Jackson, but still, people are going to try it. Let them beat us that way. Bills should have that figured out too.
Yeah, 100%. Their backs are all right. Everybody knows Jordan Howard, big heavy dude from Chicago. Miles Sanders, the rookie.
He's Darren Sproles well.
Still kicking. Darren Sproles is unageable.
Yeah, I know. He's crazy that he can play that long. Player. Well, how do you like their offensive line? I don't really – I mean, Jason Peters, he's not playing, is he? Isn't he hurt?
He missed practice today, but I don't know. I think he's going to be back. He's like 37 also.
So he's old. I mean, he's not what he used to be. He can't be. Jason Kelsey's a really good center.
Yeah.
Lane Johnson's –
Brandon Brooks. Brandon Brooks at right guard just got paid like the best guard in football. So they definitely think he is.
Okay.
He's rated really highly in PFF. He's making $13 million a year to play guard.
It's ridiculous.
Shaq Mason signed the second largest guard contract ever, like last year, right?
And a lot of
he was making like 8 or 9.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy's making 13, just blew it out of the water.
Ridiculous. I mean,
how much? Joe Tooney's a free agent after the season. You could definitely make the case he's been the best offensive lineman for the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
Is,
for sure. I mean,
what's he going to get paid? Are we going to be able to keep him? I doubt it.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope so.
I doubt it, right?
I mean, we need offensive linemen, so they can't afford to give up too many guys. We'll see.
Totally.
We will see.
You know, Lane Johnson at right tackle has been there for a long time. They got a pretty good offensive line. And behind Jason Peters is that guy Vitae, who has a ton of experience. He's filled in for Jason Peters because he's been pretty injury prone recently. Mm-hmm. I haven't been very impressed with Vitae. I remember watching him in games where he was a complete failure at left tackle, but he's been there for a while, so they can't feel too badly about him. But really, this offense, it runs through the running game and the tight ends, which is exactly what happened last week, and we saw how effective that was against us.
Yep. We'll send some pressure up the middle and cover those tight ends. Send our boys.
Send the boys.
Send you the got boys. It.
All right. Well, Vegas has this at a 3-point game. 3.5. I have it as a 7-point. I got the Pats 27.
Pats 27, Eagles 20. I think our offense is going to get going here. I'm really hoping it does. You know, the offensive line, I feel like this is the first game in a few weeks, maybe besides the Ravens. Well, the Ravens did all right, though. That up front, they're really not going to give us as much trouble as we've been seeing, especially like they don't have this dominant D end. You know, Brandon Graham maybe. So maybe our offensive line can get a little traction, run the ball a little bit. And I think Brady's going to be, you know, Brady and McDaniels, we've seen it over the years, coming out of the bye. I think you said it last show. They always figure something out. They always kind of go into the bye. They're like, okay, what do we need to adjust here? Let's look at the whole offense and the whole defense and, you know, what's working, what's not working. How can we amplify the things that are working? And, you know, bring back the stuff that's not. So we'll probably see a little of that hurry up a little more. I'd love to see N'Keal Harry out there. Now a little.
Yeah, we might see him for the first time this week.
We should see him. If we don't see him, I think that's kind of an issue if you don't see him this week. But maybe get him in the end zone because we need a target when we get down there. We can't get in the end zone, so that'd be great to see him there. Maybe a little Myers, too. Continue to build the Sanu. I think we're going to score. I think we're going to go 35 points. We're going 5 touchdowns this week.
5 touchdowns. Let's, how about that?
Let's fucking do it. Why not? Go bold in my prediction. And I think they're going to score only 17. I think our defense is going to – I think we're going to win. obviously. I think our defense is going to come back to form and show that they are really, really, really good, and that they're only going to score seven to 10 meaningful points, and they'll probably get, you know, up to 17, whether that's a touchdown or touchdown field goal in garbage time, once we've kind of taken a hold of the game and you're okay, let's go on a prevent, and you know, they make something happen late in fourth quarter, which doesn't matter. That's what I think.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, the last two quarterbacks that are decent or good, I would say good, you'd probably say decent, that the Eagles played were Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott, and in those games they gave up 37 and 38 points.
Yeah, Kirk has looked all right.
Oh, he's coming around already. What was he's that? Not, 2 weeks ago, you fought me tooth and nail on that?
He's bad, but he's not terrible.
There's not that many good quarterbacks in the league, and he's one of the good quarterbacks. Let's say there's maybe 12 good quarterbacks. He's one of them.
I don't know. I'd say top 15, maybe.
Okay. One of these times, we'll make a list. We'll see where he falls.
Yeah. We'll have to.
Fair enough. The other games this weekend, really, the only one I really, really care about is the Texans.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a game. I mean, I'll definitely tune in on Monday night to see Kansas City against the Chargers in Mexico City at that altitude. You never know. The Chiefs are not known for their depth, particularly defensively, actually offense. The other games, I mean, New Orleans at Tampa Bay, can the Saints bounce right back? Tampa just got a win last weekend and looked pretty good against Seattle before that.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I think Cowboys-Lions. I'm still curious to see what the Lions are.
Is Matt Stafford playing? That makes all the difference.
I don't know yet. Jacksonville at Indianapolis.
Foles is back.
Foles
is back.
Bowles?
Foles. Nick Foles is going to start.
Foles is, he's starting over Minshew?
He's gonna start, yeah.
They're finally done with Minshew, huh? At
least
for the time being. Do we know if, what's his name's back for the Colts?
They think Jacoby's going to play, yeah.
So, I think that could be a good game because the Colts need a win. If they can't win, they're screwed. Bills going to Miami. I feel like that's Miami might get three in a row.
Wow. How about that? The Bills could lose three in a row?
Yeah, man.
Would that be three for them?
Could be huge. And then the Cardinals at San Fran. I mean, Cardinals aren't terrible. They play the people in their division really good, or really well, I should say. And 49ers really after, what was it?
The Cardinals really should have won last week in that Tampa Bay game.
Yeah,
they
man.
They had numerous opportunities.
They can put a game together, and you know, 49ers coming off that loss, it's gonna be tough. See what they can do. So yeah,
they might have a hangover. That's true.
Absolutely.
Already week 11, it's coming fast.
Coming fast.
All right, thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week to recap this game and all the other games and catch you up on our thoughts around the NFL. Thanks for tuning in.
Adios.
See ya.